There is a common misunderstanding among people who study the Bible, believing that all sins are equal in the eyes of God. However, I regret to say that this is not true. The Bible makes it clear that not all sins are equal in the eyes of God. Sins have different degrees, and therefore there are different punishments for each type of sin. The Bible is clear about this. A common misconception among many people, even Christians, is to believe that all sins are equal. Some interpret this as if certain sins do not result in their perdition or are insufficient to guarantee eternal damnation. It is crucial to clarify that all sins, regardless of their severity, are offensive to God and therefore deserve an infinite and eternal penalty. All sin leads to separation from God, and if there is no repentance, it results in eternal punishment. It is important to consider that although all sins separate us from God and can lead to hell, not all sins result in the same level of divine tolerance. The consequences attributed by God vary according to the severity of the sin. Not all sins have the same seriousness. For example, mass murder is not the same as telling a simple lie. These are clearly different types of sins. Both are undoubtedly sins, but they belong to completely different categories. Some sins are really worse than others, affecting both the individual and the community in more severe ways. That is why there are different punishments for different sins, just as earthly justice systems apply varied penalties based on the severity of the crime. A thief is not condemned as severely as a murderer, and similar principles apply in the divine context. The distinction in penalties reflects the gravity and impact of each sin, both in human courts and in the divine judgment described by the Bible. In my study of the Word of God, a specific category of sin stands out: sexual sins. By studying the scriptures, especially the book of Proverbs and 1 Corinthians, it becomes evident that sexual sin is considered particularly dangerous. Proverbs indicates that there are cases where an individual may not recover from the repercussions and consequences of sexual sins, highlighting that these have a particularly severe impact compared to other types of sins. Sexual sin is serious. It affects your body, your mind, your soul, and most importantly, your eternity. Many people underestimate this category of sin, but God does not. This type of sin transforms people, alters lives, and has the potential to destroy marriages, traumatize children, and disintegrate families. It is irresponsible and dangerous to underestimate the issue of sexual sin, as it is the most addictive and treacherous. Let me be clear. Sexual sin is even more addictive than drug addiction. I am not exaggerating when I say this. If there is a category of sin that can destroy you while you are still alive, it is sexual sin. This sin has the power to consume your thoughts and distort your values, leading you to a cycle of guilt and secrecy that is difficult to break. It infects relationships, sowing distrust and betrayal among loved ones, and can make you live in a personal hell where you do not want to commit the sin, but cannot contain yourself. This can ruin you in ways you never imagined possible, with consequences that can extend beyond personal turmoil to cause permanent damage to your professional and social life. It can lead you to places you never imagined in search of increasingly extreme experiences, exposing yourself to financial dangers, legal problems, and profound spiritual consequences. One of the most common sins is fornication. Many believers wonder why their appetite for sin did not disappear after salvation. The fact that a person is saved does not mean they will not be tempted to sin. When we receive the life of Christ, there is a spiritual transformation in our spirit, but we still have a body that lives in the world. Being born again does not mean you will stop desiring carnal things. Your spirit is saved, but your body is not. Many Christians live with the idea that something is wrong with them because they are tempted. But this temptation is part of the ongoing struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Being tempted does not mean you are a false Christian or have not truly been reborn. Temptation itself is not a sin. Acting on these temptations is what is sinful. Consider what the Bible says about the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I declare unto you, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Note that the first two sins listed are fornication and adultery. Adultery will be the second sin we will address in this sermon, but now we will focus on fornication. It is simple. Your body will desire it. Preachers can make you believe otherwise, but after all, God created sex. He intended it to be enjoyed within the confines of marriage between a man and a woman. The reason why the works of the flesh include adultery and fornication is that both are improper methods by which people seek something completely natural. Being born again does not mean you will never be tempted to fornicate or commit adultery. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute becomes one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh." In simple terms, this explains that when people engage in fornication, they form a deep spiritual bond with each other. The verse specifically says that the two will become one flesh. This means that in addition to a physical union, there is a significant spiritual connection that occurs, reflecting the deep and permanent unity designed for marriage. The verse highlights the seriousness of sexual relationships because they unite people in ways that go beyond the physical act. Have you ever noticed that when two people involved in fornication have a tumultuous and negative relationship, it can seem difficult for them to separate? They may want to walk away, but cannot. This happens because there is a connection that transcends the physical and any other platonic relationship. It is a bond that goes beyond this world, transcending time itself, and that words cannot describe. Even when there is a physical separation, the connection remains. It is a bond that defies logic and resists simple explanation and rational analysis. It endures even when the relationship ends or circumstances change, remaining for years and distances. He who unites with a prostitute becomes one with her in body, because the two will become one flesh, means that these two people are in a way married in the spiritual world. This is surprising because many people, although they consider themselves single, may have united spiritually with several others through fornication. The Bible tells us that when people fornicate, they unite with another person or perhaps several others. Fornication creates a deep and complex connection between individuals. That is why separations are so painful. When a relationship ends, you may feel disoriented and empty, as if a part of you is lost. But in reality, a part of you is intertwined with that person, and a piece of them remains with you even after years. A single message can awaken deep emotions, causing an intense surge because through their intimate interactions, they became one flesh, as described in the Bible. The saying, "time heals all wounds," does not apply to these scenarios. Time alone cannot break spiritual and emotional bonds. Therefore, years may pass, and you may still find yourself struggling with the consequences of the separation. A deep connection does not simply dissolve with time. It often requires a deliberate process of spiritual healing and recovery. There are people listening to me now who are still in love with someone they fornicated with years or even decades ago because they are spiritually united to that person. God knew what he was doing when he created sex exclusively for marriage between a man and a woman. The second sin is adultery. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." This verse offers a shocking warning about the destructive consequences of adultery, highlighting two main aspects: lack of understanding and the destruction of one's own soul. The verse underscores the lack of understanding demonstrated by those who commit adultery. Even people with great wisdom and intelligence, like King David, can succumb to the madness of adultery. Despite his ability as a strategist and ruler, David had a lapse in judgment when he coveted his neighbor's wife, Bathsheba, demonstrating a lack of good sense. This illustrates that even the most accomplished individuals can fail when faced with temptation, emphasizing the universal vulnerability to moral failings. Moreover, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, highlights the personal responsibility of the adulterer for the destruction of their own soul. The blame cannot be attributed to external factors, such as an undesired or spontaneous attraction. Instead, the individual must face the consequences of their actions and consider their role in their spiritual downfall. Even if someone tries to shift the blame to their lustful desires or the influence of external forces, the responsibility remains personal. Ultimately, the individual is responsible for the damage caused to their own soul, highlighting the guilt of the adulterer. Proverbs underscores the seriousness of their actions and the profound impact on spiritual well-being. Involvement in adultery leads to the erosion of moral integrity and spiritual health, resulting in deep internal damage to the individual. Despite any temporary pleasure or gratification derived from the act, the long-term consequences are dangerous, causing the soul's corruption and distancing from moral righteousness. In essence, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 serves as a sobering reminder of the devastating repercussions of adultery and the imperative need for individuals to exercise wisdom and moral discernment in their actions. The verse demands introspection and responsibility, emphasizing the importance of preserving spiritual integrity and vitality. It also highlights the profound truth that the adulterer, through their actions, inflicts irreparable harm on their own soul. The verse warns of the serious consequences of adultery, especially in the phrase, "destroyeth his own soul." This means that engaging in adultery can cause deep harm to the person's entire being, their feelings, convictions, and connection with something greater. First, adultery can corrupt the soul, as betraying a partner can make someone more interested in doing other bad things and closing their heart to safety. Starting with small steps that are neither wise nor good can lead to a path of even more injustice. Second, adultery can lead to the loss of integrity and moral strength. Involvement in lies and breaking someone's trust can weaken a person's sense of right and wrong and erode their honesty and character, which are important qualities for a healthy soul. Lastly, adultery can cause emotional and psychological damage. Betrayal often leads to feelings of guilt, shame, and regret. It can also harm important relationships, leading to loneliness and sadness. These negative emotions can deeply affect a person's well-being and happiness, further harming their soul. The third sin is pornography, one of the biggest problems in our society. Millions of Christians, and not just believers, but even non-believers, hate this sin and yet cannot stop committing it, wasting their lives watching profane videos on the internet. When I talk about profane videos, I refer to pornography. Think for a moment how much time you have spent on those profane videos on the internet. You are wasting your life on this false and fleeting pleasure. Have you thought about how different your life would be if instead of spending endless hours watching those videos, you did something productive? Imagine where you would be. How could your life be better as a husband or wife, as a parent, or even in your spiritual path with God? Think about how your career or business could progress, but you are wasting your life in front of a screen. Life is passing you by. There is so much potential in you, but this sin is holding you back. Let me share some statistics. 47% of families reported that pornography consumption is a problem at home. The use of pornography increases the rate of marital infidelity by more than 300%. Yes, you heard right, more than 300%. Approximately 56% of videos involve a party with an obsessive interest in pornographic sites, and more than 60% of men who attend church and more than 50% of pastors regularly watch these videos. Among young adult Christians aged 18 to 24, 76% have actively sought pornographic videos, and up to 33% of women under 25 do so at least once a month. You need to understand that you are living in an unprecedented era. With the rise of the internet and technology, we have unprecedented access to a vast library of pornography available at our fingertips. The convenience and anonymity of online content make it extremely difficult to resist the temptation of this addiction. Unlike any other time in history, the digital age has brought a deluge of illicit materials that can consume hours, days, or even years of a person's life. The allure of these videos can be dangerously captivating, drawing individuals away from productive pursuits, personal growth, and meaningful relationships. The level of temptation this generation faces is unprecedented, and we need to consider the urgent need to confront and overcome this widespread problem. We live in an age of great wickedness that we must not underestimate. Marriages are under attack because of this problem. Pornographic videos pose a series of threats to the sanctity of marriage, distorting perceptions of intimacy and creating unrealistic expectations that lead to marital dissatisfaction. Individuals who struggle with pornography addiction can become emotionally distant from their partners, seeking satisfaction in digital fantasies instead of nurturing their real-life connection. This secret indulgence can cause a breakdown in trust and communication, eroding confidence between partners. The addictive nature of pornography can lead to secret behaviors that further isolate individuals, creating an environment of shame and guilt. Men and women suffer in silence with this sin, which may seem private, but whose impact goes far beyond the limits of personal life. The struggle against pornography is often lonely and silent, leaving people ashamed and trapped. This silent suffering can lead to feelings of isolation and despair, affecting emotional and mental well-being. The constant internal cycle of guilt can destroy the spirit, causing a sense of hopelessness and helplessness as you try to hide your addiction. People may distance themselves from their loved ones and withdraw from social circles, intensifying their isolation. This hidden suffering affects relationships and hinders personal growth, preventing individuals from living fulfilling and meaningful lives. It is crucial for our community to expand understanding and support for those facing this problem, creating an environment where they can find healing and restoration. If someone you know is struggling with this sin, do not judge them or talk about them in the church. Help them find the necessary support.